Aaron, thanks for joining us once again here on Leading Edge. I'm your host, Jeff Smith. It is the awards part of the calendar. And if you have a budding filmmaking enthusiast in your household right now, we've got a great opportunity for them. That's coming up. But first, this isn't your father's football these days. Sure, X and O's, they are what they are. But this is a day and age where high school athletic leagues, they come and go. Students, athletes, they are doing more personal branding than ever before. But you know what? With all the change here in Northwest Ohio, there's been one local constant when it comes to football. Central Catholic is a local, regional, and statewide powerhouse. The most recent example, another state championship in 2023. The school's sixth. But while it seems like Central never rebuilds, it just reloads, steering the ship is a lot more challenging than it used to be because there are also lessons on life that have to be taught. Football is life. When you get knocked down, you need to get back up. Joining us, head coach, athletic director for Central Catholic, Greg Dempsey. So good to see you. Happy New Year. I know we're a few weeks into the new year, but I wanted to extend that. Have you had a time to kind of, I guess, decompress from what was just an unbelievable season?
Not really. You know, it was funny, as long as the season goes, it was 16 weeks. You think about that, that's an NFL football season for these kids and for our staff. And the first week out, I had to go with our girls' basketball team, since I'm the athletic director and my daughter plays, to Akron for a two-day tournament. The following weekend, we're hosting Friday night game. We're hosting a Saturday night game. And you just get into it, and that's what you're used to anyway.
It just goes, goes, goes.
Yes.
But the energy of the kids, it's got to keep you going, right?
Oh, it's fun. You get to be around. You get to be part of my job is getting to be a kid a little bit. I think that's one of the hidden benefits of it.
Talk about the season, as it were, because obviously when you, and I talked about the X's and the O's of all of it, but from a football standpoint, how is Central, and maybe for our viewers who don't know the answer to this, how is Central able to continue to play each and every year at this championship level?
Well, one, obviously, anybody can tell you about coaching and this and that. If you don't have great players, you're not going to accomplish great things. And, you know, we have a committed group of young men that, you know, football is very important to them. Competing against the best versus the best, very important to them. And after that part, you know, you have to have a great staff. And I've been blessed with, you know, a staff that is just second to none versus any high school, I would say. I know there's a lot of great coaches out there, but just we are just blessed. You're as good as the people you're around. And for a head coach, it's players and it's your staff.
You and I have been around this part of town for a long time. We were talking about that before we came out here today. But I just wonder from up and down, when you look at the amount of players, you've got players. I mean, you don't bring in an entire roster of championship players. You've got, and that's where I want to lead in, is to your assistant coaches, because I know how important that is. I know you've got to bring that freshman up to the level of being at that championship level his senior year, right? And how do you go about doing that, achieving that?
Well, I think that's one of the biggest things. Talk about high school football is a development game. Mm-hmm. Sure, you're going to have your star-studded college-level players that each school has. You know, it's having those quality high school players that don't fit the height or speed or size visions of a Division I athlete, but they're just very good high school football player, high school athlete, and trying to develop them on the field, in the weight room, off the field, over a four-year period is exactly what it is. I mean, we replaced, what was it somebody told me? We replaced, you know, 14 starters heading into the season. Well, those guys just didn't come out of it.
What did
nowhere.
You expect out of the season?
I expected us to, if everything went well and injuries, because I think injuries is always the biggest thing that could doom any season. Mm. You know, with as much experience as we had on the offensive and defensive lines coming back, we had everybody back on both sides of the ball. And when you have that, that's a huge advantage over anybody, and especially as big. Yeah. That was probably where we had the greatest advantage, especially during the playoffs. That we had versus our opponents. And when you're good up front, you can kind of enforce your will on people and develop other things around it, and it buys you time to do that.
You talk about it being a development sport, and when you think of James Hudson and as a freshman working his way up, I mean, Did you know NFL his freshman year?
I don't know if you know NFL, but you know that's what NFL linemen look like as freshmen.
Yeah, he's winning the DNA battle.
Oh, yes. I mean, well, that's the number one thing. You know, you talk about a level of a high school football player because you mentioned it a little bit in your intro. It's become such a huge thing, high school athletics. And in football, you know, you see a great high school football player on TV anywhere for any school, and you're like, how's that kid not getting recruited D1 offer? Well, there's that film, I call it a film grade they get for how well they play, but then there's a prospect grade. You have to have a certain height, certain speed, certain size to have those prerequisites to play at that level, and some kids just don't have that, but they're still just great players.
When you look at guys like DeShone Kizer and think about the time that he was at Central, he seemed to have it all. He seemed to have the whole package, because I know even in times we went out there and got interviews, it's like, he is ready to go already. He was nailing interviews.
Oh, special, special kid in every way, shape, and form. He's a kid. He's a man. I still call them kids.
Right.
It was funny. He came by on the day of the Ohio State Michigan game. You talk about what kind of person has it special. Calls me up in the morning. We just won the Final Four the night before. He's like, Coach, do you mind if I stop down at workouts this morning? I'm in town. And I'm like, why are you asking? He goes, well, I didn't want to jinx you. You know, I haven't been around all year. I'm going to come around today. He came over and talked to the players. We're just wishing them luck.
Yeah.
Stayed and watched the whole first half of the Ohio State-Michigan game with the staff while we're tagging video for the championship game. And just one of the most...
He was very candid, too. And I don't know if you noticed that, especially when he got to the NFL, about the change, the speed, how talented the defenses were.
Oh, yes. That's something he talks about wanting to come back and do and teach high school kids about, you know, you really think you're a quarterback. These are the things that go into it. And I've learned all these lessons. And but like I said, he was a special talent, one of the best, I'll say, in my opinion, the best quarterback this town's ever seen.
Yeah.
But anybody that's ever got to meet him, what a great person.
I encourage people to check him out on social media as well. He's now an entrepreneur, and he's got his own gig going. And it's very interesting to see how he's kind of blossomed into this mogul, if you will.
Oh, it's amazing. Trying to describe it to me, I'm a football coach. I can't understand what he's even talking about.
Yeah. Stay right there, Coach. When we come back, we've got more with Greg Dempsey. We're going to talk a little bit about that athletic director role and kind of the oversight and how you do it in this day and age. We'll be right back. Central Catholic head football coach and athletic director Greg Dempsey joining us here on Leading Edge. Good to see you once again. We appreciate you sticking around for a second segment. I want to talk to you a little bit about the role that you play, because I know, like I said, there's a lot of X's and O's that go into the game, but you're a mentor. You're a leader among men. You're also a father figure. And does that dawn on you a lot of times, not only in the football coach role, but how important it is in the athletic director role as well?
Oh, definitely in the coach role when you're speaking to, you know, 80 to 100 boys, you know, between freshmen, JV, and varsity teams, you're dealing with 120 kids. And that's one of the things that got me interested in the coaching at a young age. I love the game part of it. I love the game of football. I thought high school football taught me an immense amount of life lessons. But the other thing was, you know, whether both parents are home, one parent's at home, whatever the situation may be, whenever a parent sends their kid off to school, you're trusting your kid to be around those people and to be an influence on your child. And in football, I took that. I was very blessed. The coaches I was around when I went through Central Catholic, just great coaches, yes, but great men. More importantly, great role models, great examples. And that was something that really got me looking towards wanting to become a teacher and a coach and choose that as my profession. And you do deal with that a lot, because there's kids, today's world, it's getting so much thrown at them so fast.
I remember, and this analogy is not going to be apples to apples, I apologize, but I taught at St. Francis for a while, and while I would start each year and I would tell those kids in the class, I did a journalism class in there, and I remember telling them, during the course of this next 8 months or whatever we are together, I said, there will be a huge event. I don't know when it's going to happen, but there will be a huge event that will impact our year, our life, and how you write stories for this newspaper. But I kind of, I guess, cascade that to you and say, how do you deal with the life events that are happening with your players, with the outside? We've talked again and again here. We do it all the time. I mean, we cover bad news here at WTOL. It happens. It happens to your students, whether it goes on in their neighborhood or with somebody they know. How do you get through that? Well, how do you keep them strong?
It's tough. I mean, because I think so much through social media and other aspects, it's more on top of these guys, these kids these days. And I think one of the biggest things is recognizing when something's up with a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I think trying to build relationships was, I think, is the biggest thing possible for anybody is, you know, life's built upon meaningful relationships. And, you know, trying to, can you have that deep, meaningful relationship with 125 kids? I don't know. But when you have a staff and you're blessed with great role models and great father figures for the kids, it's finding who has that connection with the kid that can help them get through tough times. You know, high school kid, you know, you're having problems with your girlfriend. You're not starting in sports, which I deal with. People wouldn't think that's a big deal. But when you have 80 kids and 11 can start, you know, that affects a high school kid because they work all year for that. And trying to teach them how to deal with that, how to have their role on the team, how to excel at that role, how to hopefully make their role grow. And that's something that's going to affect them later on in life because we're all started somewhere at a job where it wasn't exactly the job we wanted to start at. We had to work our way up by our time. And today's world's very instant gratification, and that's the last thing football is. It's not an instant gratification sport.
Do you tell your coaches to check in with the players and make sure everything's going okay?
They do it. They know. They do it. Yeah. I'm blessed with that good a staff, and sometimes it's, you know, and when you're in meetings on the weekend, you know, we go through our position group reports, and you sometimes, everybody else finds out a kid's going through something, and how can we be supportive and things like that, because it's, mental health is something that, you know, thank God's become to the forefront for these kids, and recognizing that is a big thing, because, you know, young high school boys, they have a lot of pride, and they're not going to share that all the time. But if you have that relationship or you're able to see something going on, you got a chance of finding something out early before it does, you know, some serious damage to a kid mentally.
Absolutely. And it turns out to be a moment that you'll never forget and they'll never forget, because as you, as a mentor and a leader, they'll think back to Coach Dempsey. Yep. It's good to see you.
Oh, great seeing you.
Thank you so much. Continue good year to you.
You too. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. Once again, we appreciate Coach Dempsey spending some time with us. In just a couple of weeks, a popular program in Sylvania gets going once again, and it's really a unique opportunity. Shorties U gives students an opportunity to learn the ropes of creating their own short films, including how to develop a story, write a script, shoot on a budget, and editing. Sounds like they could be future WTOL 11 possible employees here. Local filmmaker Christopher Wegman joining us. He's one of the instructors for this program through Sylvania Arts. Joining us here on Leading Edge. Good to see you. This whole thing intrigues me, and this is the third year going in. Why reach such a young age?
Well,
because the interest is there already?
The interest is definitely there. I mean, kids... fifth through eighth grade, that's where our program hits, are already making stuff on their phone. They're getting together with their friends and making movies.
That's true. I mean, iMovie, the access to all these editing programs already exists for today's kid, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so this just gives them an opportunity to kind of take it to the next level and get a chance to work with local professionals in the area. We've got a great group of mentors, and they get a chance to get their hands on professional equipment. They get a chance to talk about stories and also work with other students. You know, they're making films on their own, but now you get a group of 10 kids together and they've got they get a chance to act in it. They get a chance to be behind the camera. Some of them get to work on sound. And then, editing is something all the kids are always interested in.
So I guess the question I have is how? How do you go about getting them to understand development of a story, the writing side of it, the importance of that? Well, you as a filmmaker yourself, you had to have had like a checklist going into this. I need to make sure that the kids know this, that, and the other, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fast course. So we spend 4 weeks with them. It's one Saturday morning. So we don't have much time. But the idea is that we, for writing, we're sort of hitting on those story beats that like every story has. You know, you've got to have the...
The main idea
and the rising action, and there's got to be some drama in your story. Something has to happen to your main character.
I got to stop you there because I'm immediately thinking, okay, what kind of stuff have you seen come out of these kids?
All kinds
what
of stuff.
What has wowed you and you've thought, man, that's really a nice idea there?
I mean, it's always interesting how they gravitate towards these like ensemble cast stories, because all the kids want to act in them, and so usually there's like sisters or brothers or you know, they're going on an adventure, and the locations that we're at always kind of tie into the stories, yeah. Right? And so in the years past, we've worked at schools, and so a lot of the stories have to do with being students or, you know, being lost in the library. We've worked at the historic village in Sylvania, and this year we get to work at Lourdes. And so I'm really excited, you know, if we're using the greenhouse or the laboratories or the library, like those, that'll influence their stories too. And I'm always surprised, yeah, at what they come up with.
So the venue's gonna dictate a lot of what they come up with.
It does. But, you know, then the other part is, you know, their own experiences, yeah, and what we can, you know, what we try to, like, help them, you know, make a cohesive story out of. We try to push them in certain directions.
Give our viewers kind of a sense of your background and how you got involved in filmmaking. What kind of lit the fire for you?
Gosh, I mean, I started making films probably
fifth or eighth grade.
Yeah, really, you know, with my parents' DV camera, yeah, you know, like DV tape camera, and it was just me and my cousins. We went from make-believe to just like, well, what if we could like film it and then play it back? Mm-hmm. So we were doing the same thing, just without phones. I went on to Bowling Green State University, and I've had a chance to work in the area here with many of the people who are our mentors, mm-hmm, throughout my life. And so, yeah, and it's been really meaningful to see, not all the students, but some of the students have gone on to work or to go to school and to do stuff in film and video.
Follow this passion?
They do follow the passion, yeah.
Talk a little bit about it. You brought up the phone and, mm-hmm, and just how that is available, obviously, for the kids these days. Mm-hmm. Is that some of the equipment that they're using at Shorty's U?
Yeah. I mean, we bring...
Apple, obviously, yeah, you've seen it during the Super Bowl commercials. I mean, they show you can shoot movies these bad boys.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said, like, the best camera is the one you have on you. So you, you know, we encourage
spoken
them...
Spoken like a true filmmaker.
We encourage them to use their own equipment. We bring some equipment so they can get their hands on, you know, professional stuff, get the idea of how to use it. But we always have kids using their phones to film behind the scenes. Like when we're doing takes, they're filming behind the scenes stuff. I've had kids bring GoPros, and we've used them for action shots just to try and incorporate, yeah, stuff that they use. And at the end of the 4 weeks, our hope is that they go off and make their own films. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Talk, I guess when you look at the opportunities that they have, and I know from a standpoint, I mean, heck, I went to a journalism school that doesn't even exist anymore. It's now called a media school on the campus I was on. So are you seeing programs for kids not only in high school, but we're talking fifth through eighth graders. Mm-hmm. Do we have high schools? Do we have colleges, universities that really focus on this?
Oh, totally. I mean, I mean, this is the only program I know in the area that works with fifth and eighth graders. But then when I was in school, I went through like a media program, mm-hmm, even in high school. I know there's other kids are interested in it up through high school. That's been one of our hopes, is to build a bigger program where we could continue on. You know, sometimes some of the older students that age out of the program become mentors, but it'd be great to do more with them through high school too.
How do you get the kids to understand? You know, I mean, everybody can come up with an idea. Oh, I want to do a story about a bank robbery. I want to do a story about, you know, kind of like an Indiana Jones adventure kind of thing. But you start with that idea. One, you've got to have the support around you to tell you that's not a bad idea. Yeah. Secondly, how do you get them to get to that next step of the story development? What do you tell them?
Well,
and I'm stealing from the class now. Yeah, I apologize, but
well, I mean, I, you know, we start out with sort of no idea is a bad idea. We sort of like brainstorm, whiteboard everything. Mm-hmm. And then we've got to, you know, I remind them they have to make this. We have to make this. And so, like, you know, if we want a crazy clown in our movie, we got to come up with this costume. Someone's got to play it, you know. So then the ideas kind of like truncate down. You know, we take this piece, we take that piece, we put them together, and the story that comes out of it is sort of an amalgamation of everybody's ideas.
Yeah.
And you know, with a little bit of magic from the mentors to help make it happen.
You guys get involved.
Oh yeah. It's not like set it and forget it. We're all working together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the importance of cutaways.
And the importance, yeah, lots of coverage and some.
I was always told long, long ago, you can never shoot too much, but you can be a pest.
Yes.
So make sure you've got that mental clock in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. And I love when there's been times we get the kids, get the camera in the kids' hands, you know, there's been footage that I've seen them shoot that when we're editing, I'm like, oh man, like I didn't even think of that, you know? Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, you know, like that kid did a really
good
job.
An angle or something like that?
Yeah, or maybe they were rolling and I didn't know they were rolling and, you know, it makes the final cut.
We did make a graphic we want to show people. In fact, here's some of the video from some of the past years. And this was, you said you guys did this in an old schoolhouse, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the Sylvania Historical Center.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple different buildings on their property. And so we would, in years where we have large groups, we would divide up between different teams.
Gotcha. And, yeah. But once again, on Lord's University campus this year.
Yeah.
So a lot more to work with. We want to show you once again, this starts up, the registration has to be done by February 2nd,
yes.
Correct? So Shorty's U, once again, this youth filmmaking course, Saturdays, February 10th, 17th, 24th, and then the last Saturday is March 2nd, and you need to make sure it is $100 for a sign up.
And you get a Shorty's backpack.
Shorty's backpack to boot. So go to sylvaniaarts.org for more information. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks,
Jeff. It was nice meeting you.
You too.
Appreciate it. Good luck with the class. We'll be back right after this. As always, we appreciate you spending some time with us each and every week. If you missed any part of our interviews, you can always find us on the WTOL YouTube page. And then we turn this thing into a podcast as well. We hope you'll find it in your favorite spot for that. I'm Jeff Smith. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next time on Leading Edge.